Father, bless these words to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 4. In verse 4, the Word of God says, "You are of God." Young people, you are of God. Any person who is born again is of God. Since you guys have accepted Christ, and believe Him and you trust Him to be your Savior, in other words, to take you to heaven when you die, because He's the only way to get there, and He says He gives it to you for free if you accept it from Him, and you guys have done that, you are of God. Simple as that. If somebody says to you, "Who are you?" You say, "I am of God." Next fall, when you're in school and the teacher says to you, "Who are you?" Say, "I am of God." And see how they respond. And however they respond will reflect not on you, but on them. You say, "You are of God." Little children, and you have overcome them because, get this, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You're not in the world. You live in the world, but you're not of the world. You are of God. The world is not your source. God is your source. The world is not your identity. God is your identity. The world is not what your life is about. God is what your life is about. And that is a far greater identity, a far more valuable life than having a life that is all about the world. Guys, you are of God, and because you are of God, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is it that's in you? God lives inside of you. The very same God who created the heavens and the earth, the one who is called the Almighty, All-Powerful, All-Knowing, All-Present God, He has made His home inside of you. And so you are of God, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Therefore, you can overcome absolutely anything. Nothing is impossible for you. Jesus said, "Some things may seem impossible for men, but nothing is impossible for God." And because you have God inside of you, nothing is impossible for you, because He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Now, the world will speak of itself, right? People will talk like they are of the world. Sometimes people use bad language, foul language, because they're of the world. They're saying, "I identify with that which is not of God, with that which is of Satan," actually. Because Satan is the god of this world system. Not a god like God is a god, but there it means controller. So Satan controls the world system. But it says we are of God. Other people speak like the world. We speak like God. And then it says, "He who knows God hears us." And this is in verse 5. "He who knows God hears us." And by us, he means those who speak the word of God. "And he who does not know God does not hear us." And again, those who speak the word of God. "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So those people whose lives are all about themselves or all about their job, and of course people have to have a job. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a job by any measure. Have the best job you can get. But to have that be the purpose of your life, that's what I mean. That's not godly. If you use your job, if you use your opportunities at school, if you use whatever it is that you do to reflect the Word of God. I'm not saying you have to be religious or talk in Scripture all the time. I'm saying that you are constantly keeping in mind that you belong to God and He's present with you and He is in you and He's taking care of you. then everything you do becomes very purposeful. And without that, there really isn't a whole lot of purpose. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, the Word of God says that God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. So God is the place where you go to hide, a refuge. He is the one who takes care of you. He's the one who fights your battles. He's the one who causes you to overcome, so He's your strength. And whenever there's any form of trouble, God is not only around, He is right there. He's right there with you. He's not behind you. He goes before you. He is right there. He is immediately there to help you in any form of trouble. Now, one of the most common forms of trouble, and the older you get, the less difficult this becomes. The younger you are, the more it's common for people to have difficulty with it, is temptation. If temptation comes, and temptation is the urge or the thought to do something that God says is not from Him, to do something that is against His word. Temptation can be simply in your mind. You think incorrectly. And that becomes sin. You think outside of faith. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So sometimes it's just temptation in your mind. And you don't actually do something. And sometimes it's outward temptation where you actually do something, you have that urge to do something that is sin. Both of them are temptation, mental and what we call overt or something that you do. But it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, because God is your help, He is your portion, greater is He that is in you than that is in the world. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you. In other words, no temptation has come into your life except such as is common to people. In other words, the temptations you get are not unusual, but God is faithful. And He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to deal with. But with the temptation, He will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. If a temptation comes, please understand in Matthew 4:4, it's the tempter, Satan, who does the tempting. Now, every person has what's called an old sin nature. That's in our DNA. When Adam and Eve in the garden sinned for the first time for any human being, their DNA got changed and they passed it on to all other people in the world because they were the parents of all people in the world. Well, you have this thing, this old sin nature in your DNA, and it makes you easily tempted. And Satan will target your old sin nature. In other words, Satan will target those areas of your life where it's easy to tempt you. And everybody has some area like that. When that takes place, and God sees that Satan is tempting you, He's going to provide you with a way to get out of the temptation. He will perhaps give you the Word of God, if it's a mental temptation, so that you will know how to think correctly instead of thinking with the temptation. Or, He will give you a means to get out of physical temptation. In other words, you're tempted to physically do something that you ought not do. God will give you a way to get away from that. Sometimes it's just as easy as walking away from certain situations or people. Something is going on in a certain place, and it's tempting you, so you leave that place. And then you're no longer tempted. God always provides you with a way to get out of whatever it is that's tempting you. That's very important. You can find people, and sometimes you may even find them among your friends who you thought were your friends. They're actually not. But sometimes people, other kids maybe, will try to get you to do things that are sin, and they'll say to you, hey, you'll have a good time. You're going to enjoy it. Drugs and alcohol are like that. Or young people kissing and doing things that are safe for people that are in marriage and are not supposed to be done until you're married. They'll say to you, hey, it'll be pleasant, it'll be nice, it'll be fun. Well, the truth of the matter is that that's a form of temptation. It's actually Satan using people to communicate with you when they do that. Romans 6:23 says that the result of sin is death. That's not much fun. But the result of sin is death. Cigarettes, for example. So many people get tempted when they're young to start smoking, and then they're addicted and they can't stop. And in many cases, they end up giving themselves cancer, this terrible, terrible disease. Well, if they thought to themselves, you know, I can start smoking and I'll get cancer, the temptation becomes much easier to escape. But we know that smoking causes cancer. And so if a young person is thinking, they say to themselves, you're asking me to smoke? You want me to get cancer? Forget it. You're a jerk. And you walk away from it. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life there means two things. Yes, it means that you live forever with God, but it's also talking about a quality of life, not just the length of life. Eternal life in the Bible very often refers to God-given quality of life. I have never met anyone who said, I want my life to suck. I want my life to be terrible. No 10-year-old has ever said to themselves, when I grow up, I want to be in prison. No, but you know, temptation comes in and then people do really stupid things. And it really hurts them. Because they didn't think correctly, they didn't use what God gave them to keep them out of the temptation. You could have a very high quality of life. It's amazing. People who make right choices, even though other people may say to them, hey, come on, it'll be fun if you start whatever, and it's sin, and you say to them, forget it, I'm not interested, I don't want to mess up my life. People who make the right choices like that, they have this incredible high quality of life. And that transfers to every part of their life. Then on their job, they tend to have a high quality of life while they're at work. And when they get married or when they have children or among their friends, they start to have this high quality of life. Because they didn't enter into temptation. In 2 Corinthians 10:6, it tells us how to escape the temptation. It says, have a readiness to protect yourself against all disobedience by fulfilling obedience. Sin is when I'm disobedient to God. Either I'm disobedient in the way that I think and I don't think according to the Word of God, or I'm disobedient in the way that I conduct my life, in the behaviors and activities when I do things that God says are against His Word. That's disobedience. That's sin. He says the way you protect yourself is you focus on obeying the Word of God. Sometimes people will say, well, why should I do it? Do it because God says to. That's a really good way to approach life. Do it because God says to. God knows all things. He knows the very beginning, He knows the very end, and He knows absolutely every detail in between the beginning and the end. He knows every detail about you. He knows every detail about your life. And He also knows all the possibilities. In other words, you may say to yourself, I wonder what would happen if I did this. Well, God knows exactly what would happen if you did whatever it is, both positive and negative. And so, do things just because God says to do them. That is a great protection in your life. Now, there are many biological, in particular, reasons, but also psychological reasons and other reasons, reasons for society, reasons in culture, reasons in relationships. There's many different reasons that we're not going to get into. But all of those reasons are taken care of when you simply say to yourself, I'm going to do it because God says to do it. It's that easy. I'm going to do it because God says to do it, or I'm not going to do it because God says not to do it. And people may say to you, oh, come on, why are you not doing it? God said not to, and therefore I have no interest in messing up my life. I'm not going to do it. You see, God doesn't withhold anything good from you. That means if God says do it, it's a good thing. If God says don't do it, it's a bad thing. He will not keep from you anything that is good. So if God is saying to you, no, don't do that, it's because that thing would be very bad for you, very harmful to you, even though you may not understand why it's harmful, it would still be harmful. The wages of sin is death. Nobody sins thinking, oh, this will kill me, that's great. They think, oh, it'll be a good time, and then they get this very unpleasant surprise. And they realize, oh, the wages of sin is death. The young person starts smoking because they'll be accepted by their friends, they think. And the first thing they do is they cough their lungs out, and eventually they destroy that mechanism in their body that makes them cough, and they no longer cough because they've actually damaged something already. And then they keep doing it because they think they're very, whatever, acceptable, cool, whatever it is that they think. And then a few years later, they find out, oh, guess what? You got cancer. Or you got heart disease. And then they realize, oh, man, I wish I had never, ever gotten into that. Wages of sin is death. You get out of it by simply being obedient to God. Your body is God's house. Take care of God's house by taking care of your body. God is very interested in the condition of His house. In Hebrews 4:15, Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses. He gets it. He understands what temptation is. He was tempted. Now there it says He was tempted in all points as we are. People think sometimes that means He underwent the same temptations we do. That's not true. Jesus was never tempted to waste all His money to buy a Mercedes. But what it means is that just like any other human being, because Jesus was God and man at the same time, that man portion of Him could be tempted just like it was tempted with anybody else. However, he never gave in to the temptation. And then it says, because of this, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, which is Jesus' throne, that we may obtain mercy if we fail, and we will find grace in any time when we have need of help. God isn't angry if you fail. God doesn't want you to fail because that always has bad results. But he's not angry at people that fail. He offers them help to get out of their failure. And so if you're tempted, or if something's going wrong, or maybe you're having a fight with a friend, or things just aren't going right for you and you need help, come to the Savior. Tell him about it. Ask him for help. And you will find help. That's what it says there. You will find the help that you're looking for when you come to him. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. He makes us conquerors. Whatever it is, he's going to give us victory. Even if you failed, you come to him, he will give you the victory. And then it continues in verse 58, therefore be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, always being superior and excelling, doing it excellently, doing more than enough in the service of God. And the service of God starts with simply trusting him. Knowing and being continually aware that whatever you do for God, whatever obedience you have for God, when you walk away from temptation, when you respond to God in faith, whatever it is, it's not futile. It is never a waste of time, and it always has purpose. Obedience to God makes you an overcomer. Now, the beautiful thing about it is that if you say to God, I want to do things your way, God will always give you the ability. He'll always give you the smarts for it, the wisdom. He'll always make you strong enough. He'll always make you able. No matter what's going on around you, God is living inside of you. And because God is living inside of you, you can overcome absolutely anything, whether it's temptation, whether it's a trial, whether it's an illness, whether it's issues with friends, no matter what it is, maybe a problem of some kind, no matter what it is, you can overcome absolutely anything because the one who's living in you is much, much greater than whatever it is that needs to be overcome. You guys understand that? That's it for today.